fuck away listening to.
Aaron's bombing the pen. Getting down to it.
It's Bat Dance from the Batman movie. You wanted a better superhero song, so I chose one.
What Batman movie was that from?
The 1989 one with Michael Keaton. That's Prince. That's the soundtrack for Batman.
Are they playing the credits or something?
It was the Bat Dance, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Well, it was under embargo because Prince wouldn't let stuff be under streaming, but now that he died, his family let it be out, so he can get on Apple Music.
Now that he's dead, they're leaving his corpse.
So now we can use Bat Dance on our bad podcast.
Was that the original Michael Keaton one?
Yes, that was the first one from 89.
Okay. Still the best Batman movie.
Strong disagree, but a good one for sure.
Which one do you think is the best one, Aaron?
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight would be Dark the best Knight. If it ended 45 minutes earlier.
I
The end of that movie sucked. I hated it.
I actually like Batman Begins and The Dark Knight Rises better than The Dark Knight.
Wow, Dark Knight Rises, really?
Yeah, that was my completely lead. I didn't like that reason. One at all.
Do you like Bane?
No, I just like the situation in The Dark Knight Rises where it's like Batman is completely fucked because he keeps winning. Then Dark Knight Rises, he gets like isolated on the island. He gets completely cut off from everybody else. There's like overwhelming odds and he has to kind of rebuild his entire process.
Yeah.
I like that situation.
Do you remember watching all three after you barfed during the Ayn Rand drunk review?
Yeah, of course.
Is that the only time you've seen them?
I remember every second of it, yeah.
Well, speaking of, this is Yak Baby. It's the only podcast sponsored by Ayn Rand's Mop Water Vodka. It's objectively good.
The Yak Babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
I'm here. My name is Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Dave.
Hey, Aaron.
Brig.
Hello.
And we've got Nico, too.
Hello.
We're talking superhero movies. I talked about movie adaptations of literature before, but not really specifically superhero or comic book movies, I should say, because it's not just superheroes. But it's definitely a hot topic. They have taken over the box office. I feel like every month a new superhero movie comes out or comic book movie comes out of some kind. And that doesn't even include streaming TV, which is even more saturated with it. So I guess the topic is, do we have favorites, least favorites? Do we have things that we're excited about anymore or care about at all? I feel like I have maybe the strongest opinions of the group on this one, but I want to hear your thoughts on this. We know your stance.
I'm not going to talk about Superman unless you bring it up.
Okay.
Maybe we can start and just get it out of the way with like the toxic rabidity of the two fan bases on the internet where DC people refuse to acknowledge like that there might be good Marvel movies and vice versa.
Yeah, it's very dumb.
That's really a thing.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this.
It's like super toxic.
It's been in comics for a long time and it's even worse and dumber with the movies.
Yeah.
What makes it toxic?
Just like literally like shitty mouth breathers just saying horrible things and like harassment campaigns on each other. Like they like went after Brie Larson with the, you know, this whole like just misogynist bullshit on DC, and then I'm sure that there's plenty of Marvel
that
people.
Was Marvel.
What?
Brie Larson is Marvel.
I know. I'm saying like a bunch of like DC people like harassed her based on the build up preliminary marketing materials for Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's, I can't think of an example, but I'm sure similar things have happened in the other direction as well.
Yeah, and there are a bunch of people who think that there's a secret director's cut of Justice League out there somewhere that Zack Snyder wasn't allowed to release because DC forced him to cut it and got Joss Whedon to finish it up, and that there's this conspiracy behind it. And if you just release the director's cut, actually, it's a really good movie, and there's all these things that would pay off if you can only see the full realization of text. And it's just like it's a weird fantasy and very weird
I just like the idea that Zack Snyder is somehow like an auteur that's being limited by the studios instead of a complete hack
that gets brought in
to make these fucking sellout movies. Like, I mean, has he ever made a good movie?
I mean, you could argue
The Dawn of the Dead is pretty good, but not in any sort of like artistic.
The remake?
Yeah.
Yeah, he remade Dawn of the Dead like 20 years ago.
I mean, he does cool like shots, you know, like 300.
Yeah, he does slow-mo
that kind of shit. But I mean, like, not good stories. Like, he's never done a good story.
So I don't. Definitely. I think we might as well just cull the herd right now.
Sure.
I don't have a horse in the race for DC and Marvel.
Right.
I'd say probably, I mean, as we've talked about, I don't really care about superheroes that much. But probably my two favorite are the Hulk and Batman.
Yeah.
Which are obviously one and one. So I don't really have a horse in the race. But from a movie standpoint, the Marvel movies are way better.
Yes. Right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They're better made. There's better control over the storytelling and the production of those movies. So it's just a bit more. I think the DC movies are too touched by trying to appeal to every audience, and they can't quite crack that. Whereas Marvel does that somehow by not doing it.
I feel like it's almost the opposite, where like the Marvel movies are just, they're fine with being fun and silly and like.
Yeah.
And then the DC movies seem to be like so intent on being dark and serious. And they're just like melodramatic, and I've only seen maybe five of them, but they're horrible. And the one time they tried to kind of imitate the Marvel thing was Suicide Squad, and I hated
that. Yeah, the movie was really bad. The looks of them are all bad. I did like Shazam; that was pretty fun, even though I had some problems with the final act of that movie. But
Shazam
that was
a lot with better. Chuck,
yeah, Zachary Levi as Captain Marvel, the DC Captain Marvel.
Huh.
That was pretty fun.
I mean, supposedly Wonder Woman's pretty good. I didn't see it.
I enjoyed Wonder Woman. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I liked Aquaman despite myself. It's a very, very bad movie, but I had fun watching it for how stupid it was. Oh, God, it's so bad.
So I thought Wonder Woman was a good-ish movie.
Yeah.
But it was like a DC imitation of a Marvel movie. Like, it had Chris Pine there to give the funny beats, but Wonder Woman herself was extremely serious and like kind of still played for laughs, but like they don't get the self-aware thing that Marvel gets, you know, where their heroes are like not taking themselves quite so seriously.
And I'd be okay with a different tone, because the Marvel thing is very specific. It need not be every superhero, doesn't have to be kind of a pseudo comedy at the same time, right? So I'd be fine if there was a bit more serious or just like a different sort of take on those characters. I don't have to be winking at the screen this seems kind of silly, right?
The Nolan, like, they weren't my favorite. Like I said, I liked the old one better, but the Nolan Batman movies pulled that off.
Yeah.
They weren't bad movies by any stretch.
Right.
Yeah.
I wanted the third one a little bit, but
I think it's bad.
It was just
best one ever.
Yeah, you're nuts.
The
dropped that bomb like a half mile off the city. He's like, it's all good now.
Yeah. That was great. So the other thing we were talking about before we started recording along with Batman was The Boys, the new Amazon Prime TV show, which I thought was DC, but I guess isn't.
The comic it's based on started out as a imprint from DC called Wildstorm, and then moved over to a different company called Dynamite. So at one point it was a DC property, but I don't think it falls under the intellectual property of Warner Brothers, AT&T anymore.
Right, which is kind of a shame, because like what you're talking about, like taking a different tone to Marvel, The Boys does it. They go in like, let's do a superhero show that's not PG. You know, like all the Marvel movies, like that. That's not like
how much like The Watchmen is that show? Because it looks a lot like The Watchmen.
It's similar to The Watchmen, but it's like the Watchmen, but unrestricted. Like I don't know, I don't really remember if The Watchmen was The Watchmen R rated.
Believe so, yeah.
I mean, The Watchmen movie wasn't that great.
You saw it full dawn.
You did see full dawn,
right? So so you also see a dude hanging brain in The Boys. In the first episode, but it's because his power is that he can be invisible, but only if he's completely naked. So then in the ladies' bathroom at the superhero HQ, at one point one of the superheroes is like, come on, fucking translucent, like give us a break, we know you're here. And he unhides himself and he's fully naked. And he like walks off like pouting, and he's like, "Okay,
right.
I mean, go fuck yourselves." I mean, like, and he's also a huge creep,
right? Well, the idea of The Boys is like superhero, especially DC characters that are supposed to be these sort of paragons of moral forthrightness and good are actually weird creeps with perversions, and it's not an especially new take, but definitely a fun one.
Right. Have you seen the new Tick?
No.
Yeah, it takes a similar
yeah
sort of. dark comic approach to like, yeah, a world with superheroes would kind of fucking suck for the rest of us.
Right. I'm actually interested in like expanding the discussion of superhero media comic media away from superheroes into like others. Like there's that new show, it's going to either come out soon or has already come out, I think, on ABC called Stumptown with the woman from How I Met Your Mother. She's also in the Marvel movies too. She plays the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, Maria Hill. I can't remember the actress's name now. That's based on a comic. And you wouldn't, like, you in this sort of age of saturation of comic book properties being made into TV shows and movies everywhere, that one kind of slips under the radar because you wouldn't, there's no costumes. It's a very sort of straightforward police drama about a cop in Portland, but it's based on a beloved comic series. And movies like Ghost World, based on the Dana Klaus comic. There's another Dana Klaus movie called Wilson that came out recently with Woody Harrelson in it, based on a very, very dark Dana Klaus comic. Stuff like that is also sort of worth kind of engaging with sometimes. Not always good, but sort of a different version of how you take a comic property and turn it into a different medium.
I mean, we could probably sit here all night and talk about different comic books movies.
Yeah.
But I think maybe a broader question is, why are there so many now?
Yeah.
And is that a good thing? Or are we getting sick of it?
I don't know if it's a good thing.
So to me, one of the most interesting things actually about the Marvel like rise to power is that it was their B team that did it. Like they were, if you remember back in like the early 2000s, like the X-Men were supposed to be everywhere.
Yeah.
And Iron Man is like a third tier fucking Robert Downey Jr. like rehab vehicle. And somehow that's the one that everybody likes. And then they're like, okay, we like that. So let's do that for 15 years. And the X-Men is still like languishing. And they make a movie every once in a while and nobody goes to see it.
Yeah, I mean, that probably has been declined.
Books, right? Like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, but X-Men are the kind of the blockbuster, and Iron Man and fucking Captain Marvel are not.
Well, the movies definitely push the sales of those books in different ways. I've got a lot to say about X-Men on the comics episode coming up soon because they've recently shifted the approach to the X-Books and I'm really into it. So I want to talk about that quite a bit. But Iron Man sales picked up when the movie picked up. When the movie got popular, people wanted to read Iron Man stories all of a sudden. That became the big character at Marvel, and same with Captain Marvel. Although that was maybe spurred in a different direction, but the movies feed into the comics in a weird way. And even like choices in terms of Tony Stark wasn't like Robert Downey Jr. before the movie. Maybe in superficial ways here and there a little bit, but not really. But that voice is now the default voice for Tony Stark in the comics and elsewhere. If you play a video game or watch a cartoon that has Iron Man in it, it's going to have a Robert Downey Jr. impression as the voice because that's the default Iron Man voice now. It comes from nowhere but the movie.
And that voice basically became the Marvel voice. Like,
yeah, totally.
Like that's the tone of all the Marvel movies.
Yeah, and the same is true for like Star-Lord, for instance. If you read a Star-Lord comic now, it's Chris Pratt being written by the writer. It's not the original Star-Lord, which is a very, very different character. So it definitely feeds into how those books are made. I think the reason why it's so popular, or one of the reasons why, is that producers and studio heads realize there's these giant factories of intellectual property, right? Like that these comic companies just produce books constantly and people like them, but they're just making stories. It's almost like prefab screenplays. So if you want to make a movie, you can go harvest any number of comics that have been made that have a built-in fan base and turn it into a quote-unquote nerd property, and it'll sell, which is a very cynical.
IPs are super cheap too.
Yeah, they're usually cheap. They usually are already pre-owned by the companies in the first place, especially now that Disney owns Marvel, and now that AT&T, I guess, is the owner of DC, but we're not sure for how long that'll last. You know, they bought them for that reason. They didn't buy them because they love comics. They bought them to have access to the properties, which is a sort of cynical and gross way to think about it.
Well, let me get to the opposite of your cynical, because I think you're kind of right.
Yeah,
that doesn't necessarily, you know, as we talked about many times, I'm never going to go back and read 60 years of anything.
Right.
But like, I always thought Spider-Man was kind of lame.
Okay.
And then maybe in the last 2 years, due to those Marvel movies and also that PlayStation game we played with a little while ago, mm-hmm. really come around on Spider-Man.
Nice.
Yeah. Plus, Into the Spider-Verse was probably the best comic book we've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, there's probably 100 years of really mostly shitty, dumb comic book stories out there. But in there, there's probably some arcs that are real kind of treasures and even literary, right?
Yeah.
And to have someone sort of take those to a new media where new people will experience those stories, because they're fun, you know? They're I don't go to the movies that often.
Yeah.
But I like going to superhero ones, even though I don't know who half the characters are.
Sure.
You know? But they're fun.
Yeah.
Especially... Yeah,
they're fun because they're easy.
They're easy. They don't really challenge you, but they're like good popcorn movies, you know? And it's like, there's fun things to watch. There's usually a little bit of jokes. Maybe that's why I like the Marvel ones better, because I don't need them to be gritty, and that's not really what I'm looking for.
Right, right.
You kind of, it's more like indulging the kid side of you a little bit.
Oh, totally. I mean, I've seen every Marvel movie in the theater, I think. Maybe one or two exceptions. I always have fun.
Maybe the Thor movies.
No, I saw all those in the theater, my friend.
Really?
Yeah.
That Thor one with the Hulk in the arena was great.
Thor Ragnarok, that
that
one's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With sequel coming up. Director?
The one with the lady Hulk?
Yeah, Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
I don't think She-Hulk is in it, but...
Yeah, it's like Lords of Thunder or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's Thor and the something... Yeah, Love and Thunder
Ragnarok?
Or something like that.
Well, no, that's the new one. I'm pretty sure it's got a Lady Hulk in it.
It's a Lady Thor.
Sorry, that's what I meant. Lady Thor.
Yeah, Natalie Portman's going to be.
They are making a She-Hulk show, though.
Yeah, She-Hulk show's coming out. For me, part of it is the novelty of just seeing characters that I've known comic book form on the screen. It's still kind of fun, but I will say that having, you know, it's decades now into this phenomenon or trend, I'm no longer surprised. It used to be sort of like, I can't believe they are going to put like fucking Rocket Raccoon in a movie. Like, now it's there and it's crazy. Now it seems almost like, yeah, okay.
He's also the best Marvel character.
Right. Like, nothing could surprise me now, right? Like, nothing. If they made a Phantom Stranger movie from DC tomorrow, I'd be like, yeah, okay, yeah, I get that. It's a weird character, but right. I totally buy it. There's nothing, there's no horizon too far now in those characters. But I'll still see them all, for sure. I'll still be there because I just like it. But it's not the most discriminating viewing ever. It's not like I'm, you know, thinking with critical brain on them. I mostly just want to have fun.
Will you go see movies about superheroes that you don't read comic books?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I mean, like Brick was saying, a lot of the Marvel movies are third and fourth string characters sometimes. So I'd never read a Guardians of the Galaxy comic before I saw the movie, but I really liked it and that kind of thing. I don't do the TV shows, though. I watched Arrow for a little bit. I tried to watch The Flash and a couple others, and it's hard. I just don't click with TV, period. So it's hard for me to watch all those.
Real low budget.
There's also a lot of them.
CW teen shows, yeah. Too.
And then it's also weird, like, the other side of those CW comic book shows, like the Riverdale and that kind of
shit. Oh, yeah,
shit.
The Archie,
like,
show.
That's a super weird show. I think
they're just going for the edgy teen audience.
Yeah, the CW audience, for
CW
sure.
CW has a very specific demographic.
I just mean DC in general. But it seems like it's been a mostly successful tactic. But not that, what I'm about to say. What do you think about the push to make everything interconnected and have these quote-unquote extended universes, cinematic universes, sorry?
Yeah, it only works for Marvel.
It seems like that's part of DC's problem, right?
Yeah, they really want to make that work. It's just not going to.
It only works if you pull it off, and Marvel managed to pull it off.
Yeah, they managed to pull it off, and it's a unique combination of resources and clout from the producer and the group editor, whatever you want to call that guy's position. I can't remember his name now. Alan Fine, not something else. Feige. Yeah, Kevin Feige.
Feige, yeah.
Yeah.
The Lord Overseer of the whole universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Star Wars is doing the same thing. It's just Disney's got the formula down or something.
The problem,
yeah, but Star Wars isn't working.
Yeah, I mean,
I think the side stories of Star Wars have been just as good.
Are you guys?
Yeah, but no one likes Solo.
Star Wars I like the Marvel movies, but
Rogue One was the best Star Wars movie that's come since Disney took over.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't liked Episode 1 or 2 of the main thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They were good. They weren't bad. But
the
side stories have been better than the...
I think everyone wants to start their own connected universe now, yeah. And none of them get off the ground properly. The Dark Universe, the Universal Monsters, connected universe.
That was a one-and-done situation.
Yeah, they tried real hard.
Don't come out the gate with the fucking mummy. What are you doing?
Well, before that was that Dracula one with the guy from, I think, Game of Thrones in it.
I thought
Dracula Rising. No, right. Dracula was the first one.
That whole shit is just...
Yeah, they really fucked that up.
Yeah, but then Mummy introduced Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, played by Russell Crowe, right? And it's just like, it went nowhere, and now it's gone. Sony wanted to make their own Spider-Man connected universe before they had sold the rights to DC, or to Marvel rather, or gave them partial rights to make the Tom Holland movies,
right.
And failed. You know, those Andrew Garfield movies didn't do super well, and no one really liked the second one especially.
I mean, the Tobey Maguire movies were god-awful as far as I'm concerned. What did you think of them, Aaron?
I like those first two, for sure. The third one was real bad. But I think if you watch the third one as a comedy, not as a superhero movie, it's a lot better. The comic beats are pretty funny, but
What you were talking about before, like how the comic books adapted to the movies, I think the movies, in the case of Spider-Man, actually adapted to the comic books, because the Tom Holland one, to me, Spider-Man was one of the only comics I read when I was a kid. It was my favorite. It was my favorite one. And the Tobey Maguire ones were completely a different tone. And so
they were different
movie Garfield ones.
Company. I mean, that's part of it, right? Those were the Sony ones, and then Tom Holland was the Marvel one.
The Tom Holland was inside the Marvel. But I think the Tom Holland ones are the only ones that get the tone of the comic books from the 90s, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, they were good. I haven't seen the new one, but the first one was good.
New one's pretty good, too. It wasn't as good as the first one, but it was definitely fun. I liked it a lot. But yeah, you're right. There's a balance between doing a slavish imitation, like the horrible Watchmen movie, which was shot by shot or more or less shot for shot like the comics and just was totally inert on screen and not fun at all. And then the other version is going way off the rails, doing something totally different, like the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie or the Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie, which are also bad.
Or the Dolph Lundgren Masters of the Universe.
That movie is awesome, and I will stand by that movie until I die. Except it was directed by a pedophile. That part's bad.
So how about we just everyone say their favorite superhero movie or favorite comic book movie, and then unless we have
top five.
More of substance. Top five? That's a lot. Top three.
Top three.
I got mine.
All right, let's hear it.
I can go. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Real good.
It's real good.
Original Batman.
89
Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And not surprising anyone, but also like a legitimately good movie, mostly because of Jim Henson's involvement. And its relatively accurate translation of the original comics was the original Ninja Turtles movie. All the rest are garbage.
Yeah.
But the first one is a great movie.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'll give you that for sure. Yeah. Dave?
I'll never be able to come up with titles.
I
like the original Batman in 89. I watched that as a kid a few times.
Yeah.
I saw one of the new Batman ones. I think the first I liked it. Sure. Yes. But they just don't really stick with me very much, I guess.
Yeah. They didn't make a movie off the shoe comic strip.
I would watch it.
That weird Little Nemo.
Oh, yeah.
Cartoon from the 80s, 90s?
80s, yeah, I think so.
That one was pretty good. It was super weird. Yeah. Yeah.
Nico, what about you?
I would say Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had such a clear, this is like what Batman would be like if he was real, kind of a take, and executed obviously better than almost any other superhero movie because Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
I would say Captain America Civil War.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because it's one of the only one of those Avengers where it's not just like them versus like a fucking alien with superpowers.
Right.
And then probably that last Avengers movie, just because it managed to pay off 15 years of movies, which I was shocked, like how cleverly they managed, like half the movie was like a clip show, and they managed to make it still compelling.
Yeah,
totally. Very tempted to put Endgame and Infinity War on my list, because I really enjoyed them both. I had a great time
combined
watching those. Yeah, it's like one, like 5 hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're quite successful at doing what they're supposed to do, which is, again, not be a masterpiece, just tell the story and wrap it up, and it did that, I thought, pretty effectively. But I'm going to say, for number three, Captain America, the first Avenger, the first Captain America movie, I really loved.
Barf.
Okay. Directed by...
You definitely got to type with your superheroes, though, because Captain America by himself is very Superman-y.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, there's a sort of an oh gosh feel to it, which wait till you hear my number one, which will confirm that. Number two, Dark Knight. I think it's fantastic, making the superhero movie into a not an epic, but sort of more of like a human drama, I guess. Everything going on in that movie is really interesting. Even the last part was not great, I admit that, but I still find it compelling. And just the best performance. Heath Ledger's Joker is still just a great
job. Do we need to talk about the new Joker movie?
I'd love to. My number one, before we do that, though, is The Rocketeer.
The Rocketeer love that movie.
So
holy
goddamn good.
Shit.
Also directed by Joe Johnson, who directed Captain America, The First Avenger. It's that same sort of Golden Glow feeling. Yeah, same director.
Wow.
He was a special effects guy and then started directing on his own. Made a couple movies. He made, I think, Batteries Not Included, which I also saw as a kid and liked.
Johnny Five?
No, Short Circuit. Batteries Not Included is the little weird alien robots that come to the diner. Jessica Tandy and what's his face?
Hume
Cronin. But... Well, yeah. Rocketeer has that. Not at all.
Jennifer Connelly was in Rocketeer.
Yeah. That's a huge reason.
Who plays the Rocketeer?
His name is Billy Campbell. He was a soap opera actor. Didn't do much after that. I think he was in a couple TV shows here and there after Rocketeer.
Your head?
I have watched that movie so many times recently. I've watched it like three times in the past year. It's great. But yeah, Jennifer Connelly is the love interest, and that was an early like awakening for me for sure. Yeah, the Joker.
Like Jennifer Connelly for like 50% of the guys our age was an awakening in something.
Yeah, Labyrinth. Was she in Legend too, or that was somebody else?
Or just that movie where she's in the like grocery store. I have that
career opportunities.
Brain. Right.
Yeah.
Requiem for a Dream.
Well, it's a different ass realization. Ass. Yeah.
Wait, is that the one where she's stuck in the store overnight, like a department store?
What am I thinking of?
Yeah.
That's called Career Opportunities?
I think so. I know what you're talking about for sure. I'm not sure. You had
the name right at the tip.
Right, but that could be something else for sure.
Yeah. I guess like the biggest comic book movie headline is that Joker movie, like Brick brought up a second ago, because people are talking about how it's going to win an Oscar. It was a huge hit at the Toronto Film Festival, or maybe it was Cannes or something like that. People are talking about how it's this like, it's going to change the game and everything. I don't know. Did you watch the trailer for it?
I did.
What'd you think?
And I think everyone that feels concerned that seems like some kind of incel manifesto might be on to something.
Yeah, maybe.
It seems like it. Like, I don't need like a rumination on the pathos of a fucking bad guy.
I don't know. Well, yeah, I see your point. I don't think it's necessarily inherently a bad idea.
I don't think it's inherent anything. It seems like that's what they went for.
Right, but that could be an interesting story, right? It doesn't have to be a bad thing. I don't think it's not like telling a villain's backstory, although I mean, it turns it into like a training manual for terrorists or for mass shooters.
It just
right?
seems like it's glorifying his decision to just embrace his insanity and kill people.
Could be. I mean, we haven't seen the movie, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way they cut the trailer, I guess. Yeah. But
the trailer made me feel real bad. I watched the trailer, I was like, this makes me sad already.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I can take it.
Yeah, it definitely feels like, it's not going to work. But that's because, like, I feel like DC has tried that several times. Like, Suicide Squad was basically that.
Yeah.
They've tried to do that kind of thing and it hasn't worked.
There's a
Harley Quinn movie coming out too, and it's the same thing. It's like, I don't.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not that it couldn't work. It's just that they've tried it before and it hasn't worked. That makes it feel like to me.
The difference here is that they've basically thrown all the comics out. Like Todd Phillips has said in interviews, this is not really based on the comics at all. It's just the idea of the character and everything else is our own creation. So it's not even. It's almost tangentially a Joker movie and really more of like a violent clown movie.
I mean,
it's like, I don't want to watch a Batman movie without any villains.
Right.
Why? I mean, it's
like Batman.
And also like, I mean, that's like saying like, okay, this is our Batman movie. We threw out everything about the comic books. It's like, okay, so he's just a rich guy.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
I guess the difference would be that the Joker doesn't have a fixed origin point. So you can kind of tell whatever story you want to. And it will fit that character, right? There's no, he doesn't have the identity of rich guy.
They're foils for each other, right? So, I mean, Batman without villain is a fucking sociopath billionaire.
Sure.
Right? If there's no reason for him to do that shit, he's a nut.
Right.
Right? And it's not, when you strip his heroism out of it, he's just a megalomaniac.
Okay.
And that wouldn't be a good movie.
Right.
I mean, kids might think it's badass that he's got cool things and he's beating up, you know, he's a vigilante on the street, but it would remove part of what makes that more than just that.
Yeah.
Right? And if you do the same thing with a fucking monster, it's like, yeah, I've been bullied and now I'm a mass murderer, but I'm really good at it. And people think I'm cool because I got clown makeup and I laugh crazy.
I guess I'm not sure the Joker is the hero of that movie, though. Like, we don't know what their take on that character is or how it's going to come off. What if he comes off as the bad guy?
From the things I've read and from the trailer I watched, that does not seem to be the angle they're taking.
Yeah, maybe not. But I guess a movie about a bad guy or a villainous character who doesn't have an opposite heroic character is not a new thing.
No, it's not. But when you do that with probably the most famous bad guy in all of comic books,
yeah,
it's like, that's not the one to do it with, you know, because everyone knows who the fucking Joker is. And everyone knows that in any permutation of that story where it ends up, even if you throw out all the comics.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so. I think people would argue that you can't tell a Joker story without Batman because they belong to the same archetype, right? They're like two sides of the same coin.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
You must have one against the other. I'm not sure that's true. I think that you can free Batman from the Joker and vice versa and see what happens. And I'm interested in the results of that experiment versus having them always have to be tied to a binary.
I think the result is going to be someone shooting up a movie theater.
I mean, maybe so. Maybe so. I don't know.
Kind of seems like it.
The original director of that was Martin Scorsese. He was the one who developed it.
It doesn't make me feel better.
It's not make you feel better at all. It's just interesting that that was the pedigree as it came from Scorsese, and he eventually moved to his producing, and now that's the guy who made The Hangover is directing it. It's just a very weird. It's a very weird story. Period. Like, why is this movie being made? I don't get it.
It also seems like whenever they change actors for a kid, like when they reboot a character like three times within 10 years, it's generally a bad.
Well, I mean, that sign. Jared Leto Joker was a train wreck.
Yeah.
Right.
No one wants to watch a full length Jared Leto Joker movie.
Which half-length was that supposed to be the. Was that it the.
Certainly, they certainly seem to be positioning it that way when they started with him.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about it too, that he was going to have a whole.
I think their plan Joker was to. Movie. To spin that off into his own movie, possibly the Ben Affleck Batman movie that he was going to write and direct for a while. Those plans have all fallen apart. So it's just, like I said, Marvel can do it, but no one else can. It all unravels.
Yeah, I think people, it's one of those things where they see the Marvel movies and they're like, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, well, that looks easy. So.
Yeah, or it seems like a formula. It's not really a formula.
Yeah, certainly anybody else could do it. But no, it's like even Marvel has shitty movies. Like there's a bunch of shitty Marvel movies.
Sure.
Like the Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Hey, I like that movie.
But it was not good.
It was not great, but it was still fun. I enjoyed it.
It was fine. Average.
Well, give us your list of the comic movies you like on Twitter at YakBabies or email us at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com. If you like The Rocketeer as well, if that's your favorite movie, comic movie of all time, let me know because I want to know who else out there is like me.
And loves that movie. You.
Yeah, sure. Also, patreon.com/YakBabies. Bonus content on Patreon. Tons of bonus content. I wouldn't say hours worth, and maybe I'm wrong about that because some of them are just like 1 minute long, but a lot of them are multiple minutes and adds up to a good fun time. Stories we can't tell on the main feed because they're too disgusting. We call it Yak Babies. It's all there. Check it out for $1. Until then, Yak Babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to send an extra thank you to everyone who listens regularly, and especially to those who have supported on Patreon, past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, and William Howard Taft.